League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Stevie Levy here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Jeremiah Watkins episode. I actually met Jeremiah by watching him perform in the OR at the Comedy Store, and he really impressed me. Very funny, physical comedian. And my favorite part of his episode was when he talked about opening up for my brother in Las Vegas. It's a very funny story, and I hope you check it out and enjoy. Thanks.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. Okay. Hi, Stan. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome comedian Jeremiah Watkins.
Yeah, we're doing it.
That was amazing.
That was fun.
You were back there the whole time?
Dude, I've been here for like 3 days.
You're back there. I didn't see you. I mean, I went poo in there and everything. You were there the whole time, huh?
Whole time. It was crazy.
So how long, man, you play that beautifully.
Okay.
How long?
I just spoke into the sax and not the mic. I said, Thank you.
Tell us your history behind this instrument here. Like, when did you pick this bad boy up?
I carved it from wood. And, you know, I grew up as a sailor. And every morning at the docks, my father was like, "You cannot play until you build it." And
wow, look at that strap too, huh?
Yeah, dude. It's,
wow, is that the? Are you having a problem with the stand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mia. Yeah. Come on, George, help out here, dude. What's
we got
producer,
it.
No, producer responsibility.
We did
right
it.
Here.
No, we yeah. got it.
Thanks for coming, man. I had so much fun on your podcast, Jeremiah Wonders.
Yeah,
yeah.
People now really like that episode.
It was pretty weird, huh?
Yeah, dude, we got real. Within the first 2 minutes, like I showed you the base of my penis.
Did people get weird about that?
You know what? Not many people even blinked an eye at it. They're like, "This is just natural."
What, asking, like, "Hey, let me see the base of your penis?"
Yeah, because for context, if you didn't see his episode, I had gotten a Brazilian wax. So he's like, "Let me see it, dude."
Yeah. You still shaved? Are you still shaved?
Well, I've got a couple weeks of growth if you want to see it now. If you want to see the difference.
Yeah, let's see it. Right. Okay. But don't get so close. You don't have to get so close to me, man. What the hell, man?
See, I got it.
Okay, okay. That's cool. That's healthy. That's healthy looking. Yeah, they're good for you. Yeah, it's going back in nicely.
Yeah.
It's becoming distinguished.
Yeah.
Do you shave underneath the your scrotum? Your nuts?
The Brazilian wax is the first time anything had come out from there.
No, I'm talking about because sometimes I get hair
Like
near your anus. But yeah. Your butthole, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I haven't done it.
But you get little hairs there too?
Oh, yeah.
So do you take a shave? You shave? You use a shaver there?
Well, usually I just let it go. I let it go wild. But since the...
Yeah. No, I shave it now.
You do?
Yeah.
But doesn't it grow back in, like all like prickly and stuff like that?
Kind of, but I lift up my nutsack mm-hmm. and I take... So I just soap it up, and then there's a shaver in the bath.
You have a man who does it.
No, I just do it myself. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
I
why.
Thought you employed like you is know that... you called him a shaver. So no, like, I thought a man popped out of the closet and was like, no, oh, yes, Mr. Lee.
No, I don't have an actual guy that does it. Yeah, that'd be weird.
That'd be fun though.
But is this normal to do stuff like to shave down there? Do other men do that? Do
I think so.
George Price.
Do you guys?
Not the chode.
You're openly admitting you have a chode?
Well, what is a chode again?
Well, a chode is a penis. I'm going off of what I know here. It's a penis that's as wide. It's like wider than it is long, or it's as wide.
Oh, so you're admitting that you have a...
No, what's the part?
No, hold up. Don't get off the hook. No, I'm putting you on the hook.
Dude.
I'm putting you on the hook. No, he just admitted...
He just admitted he has a choke.
No.
No, that's exactly what he said.
It's on camera.
He's admitting...
Jeremiah, back me up. He just admitted he's got... We know it's pink. Like, he's turning red.
Yeah.
We know it's pink.
Oh, yeah.
We know it's pink.
Yeah.
But he's admitting it's...
It's thick and short. It's real thick and short.
And short.
Yeah.
So okay. So this is we starting like, off on a good note.
You know, it's
George.
Just like,
oh, George, it's off.
Like
you're off camera. George, you're off camera. Please show me and Jeremiah right now.
No, we're good.
People watching this are gonna be like, dude, what the hell is this about? I have questions, by the way. Oh, I'm sorry. You get okay. Yeah, you're buttoning your pants up there. Okay, so we're going to start. I'm prepared, Jeremiah. I wrote some questions.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't want to, because he gets upset when I'm just, I try to be organic about it, but let's go back to, you okay there? Okay, that's George.
That's what it looks like. And this was worth the visual.
He committed to that.
I just spent a while making this happen, but this is what George looks like. It's just like. Really fat.
But it's short. It's probably... You say it's 3 or 4 inches, George? George?
George?
Well, let's go a few more R's, you know?
No, he's big.
He's a... Yeah,
Jeremiah Watkins. You're doing well. Like, I looked at your website. There's a lot of things... You've done a lot of things being in... Thus far in LA, like,
yeah,
I didn't even realize you were involved with the Comedy Central roast battle.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, where are you from? Before all this happened, where are you originally from?
I'm just a kid from Kansas with a dream.
Wow.
Yeah. I came out
Kansas.
Here. I didn't know anybody.
You know zero.
Yeah, your brother was the first guy to take me on the road.
He's the first.
Yep.
Good job, Bob.
Yep.
So. How difficult was it for you from Kansas, being just in this new city, not knowing anyone? Did you hit the open mic scene hard?
Yeah. First, I got involved with Second City.
And yeah, I wrote that down.
Yeah, I started doing improv.
I wrote that down too, Second City.
Yeah, I started doing improv like immediately because I thought, like in Kansas, a lot of places you can't, if you're not 21 years old, you can't even... Like be in there to do stand up or anything like that.
Why? Oh, that's a rule.
Just like a drinking
alcohol.
Age, stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In LA, there's a performance thing where if you are like younger than that, you can do your set and then leave. I didn't know about that, so I was just
that's
like,
cool.
I'll just start stand up when I'm 21. So I was 20 whenever I came out here.
Right.
So I started doing improv. I got super involved in Second City and stuff like that.
Explain to the viewers what Second City is. Some of them may not know.
Yeah. So Second City is like it's an improv and sketch school. Like the reason why I was excited about going there was like Chris Farley and Dan Aykroyd and Gilda Radner, Eugene Levy, John Candy, all those people from SCTV.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Legends.
You know, yeah.
Because they went on to do movies and all that stuff.
Oh,
Eugene Levy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But keep going. I love what
you're
doing.
Yeah, yeah. So I was always been drawn to like guys like Chris Farley and stuff like that. And I'm like, well,
rest in peace, man.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Belushi, you know,
rest
another
in peace.
Guy.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to do
iconic.
What they're doing.
Iconic.
Iconic.
Like Animal House.
Oh, yeah.
You grew up with that stuff,
yeah,
right?
I grew up with all that stuff.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah, yeah, I want to get into that, like your inspirations too.
Yeah, I mean, I've you always are drawn to stuff like, did you see like your parents like crack up at something, like watching something?
Oh yeah, my dad used to like lift his leg up and fart. And you know, and then we would laugh, you know, but he didn't really say anything vocally. He just, it's just like, just his actions.
Yeah,
like
physical stuff
that he did, and it would crack us up.
Yeah, that scene in Animal House when John Belushi is doing the thing where he's about to like look in the girl's window with the ladder.
That was funny.
That like killed my mom. She would like die laughing watching that. And I was like, oh.
How old were you when you witnessed your mom having this moment?
Super young.
Like what, middle, like elementary school?
Elementary school, for sure. And then
what did that do to you? Like the light bulb went off? Like,
well,
wow.
I was like, I want to give that feeling to people.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, like my dad would die laughing at like Steve Martin and Jim Carrey and guys like that.
Steve
Martin,
people never, like a lot of people don't really have, they haven't brought that guy up, but that guy is like historical,
oh,
right?
Oh, dude,
the
absolutely.
Jerk.
Oh, yeah. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is one of my favorite movies.
What was the one with Eddie Murphy on the, where he's
where
like,
they're making a film?
He's a part of the agency.
What is that? Why is that? Why am I slipping on that?
You guys know. Have you guys seen it? Eddie Murphy plays different characters in it. He plays like the superstar and then the nerdy guy.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Bowfinger.
Yeah,
yes.
Bowfinger was
yes.
I love
it's
that
great.
Was a great great movie. Great movie.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. But Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
I love that movie.
Yeah, yeah. So we have some other ones that inspired you. You see Hollywood Shuffle?
No,
Yeah. That was more Robert Townsend and the Wayans brothers and stuff.
Like, I love I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Okay, see, that's it's a
I
part of that same
that
lineage
movie.
Kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
yeah of movie. Yeah, but keep going.
Could
I like
get
that.
A rib? Use that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
you didn't know it at the time, but you got inspired by your parents.
Probably,
reacting
yeah.
Reacting to comedy.
Just seeing how they reacted.
And then you're like, I want to do that one day.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. And then keep going. And so when did you actually start writing jokes, or how did that develop?
Well, whenever I was like in high school and stuff, so I started making like little short films and stuff like near middle school and high school.
You did?
Yeah, started
were
making
you in
sketches.
Drama or?
I grew up in the theater.
Oh, you
like
grew
I,
up?
Yeah, I grew up like doing plays.
And then you were in the band too, right?
Yeah, at one point,
so
like in grade school,
theatrical,
I was doing,
you're in the arts.
Yeah,
at
yeah.
a very young
I did
age.
Choir whenever I was growing
That's
up.
Right.
I was like the only boy alto.
Yeah.
yeah. Cause I was the only one who could hit those notes, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Like I sang higher than a lot of the girls. yeah.
Now, were you accepted? Like, was it hard integrating with, like, were there like jocks at your school? Or were you like,
well, I was kind of a unique case because I was just kind of one of those guys who I just moved around all the groups.
I was just going to say that. I was thinking.
I kind of floated. I didn't stick to one
circle.
Yeah,
everyone liked you.
Yeah, it was like, just like kind of like, I didn't like, you know, I wasn't like, I played sports, but I was never like a jock.
Like what sports?
I played basketball and soccer for years.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. You were on the team and everything too?
Oh, yeah. No, I just, you know. That's a funny way to fall. I play basketball. Oh, you're on the team? No, I just.
Oh, you
I
just play.
I played adjacent. I played on the fields next to. I just longed and hoped for the day that they would put me in.
So you got along with everybody.
Yeah, for the most part.
Were you in school plays and everything?
Yeah, I did that in grade school and stuff like that until high school. Well, I started getting in my head a little bit more in high school, like. Being like, oh, I don't know, like if people, like the way that people think about you and stuff like that. That's whenever I got in my head and I was like, oh, I'm not going to do plays anymore because people might think it's like
weird
or whatever.
Can I tell you something about my brother?
Yeah.
And then bring this up next time you see him.
Yeah, yeah, well, I will.
He was Huckleberry Finn.
He was Huckleberry
yeah,
Finn?
Yeah. So next time you see him, you can be like, hey, Huckleberry. In,
he's
going to
be
fifth grade.
What? Yeah. He's going to grab me by the neck.
Curry and Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah, that's so funny.
I have the pictures to prove it. And Gilbert.
Please.
It's in the shoebox.
Send me any of those.
Yeah. So can we talk about some of your parts that you played as a kid or some plays?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I played, I played Peter in Heidi.
Okay.
And my sister was Heidi. Yeah, man. That's that small town stuff when the love interest is your sister. Yeah.
So how did how did they cast that? Like, how did that happen?
Well, you know, our chemistry was off the charts.
Yeah. did you have to like kiss your sister?
No, because it was a Christian school. Oh, so they're like, you
know. Christian school, Georgie. Yeah. Christian school.
Yeah. So.
Oh, man.
So she, like, at the end, she, like, kissed me on the cheek, and, you know, I faked, like, oh.
Well, you guys can rehearse together at home.
Yeah.
Okay. No, not like that guy. See where their heads are at, man, these single men. See where they go.
Overnight
they go,
rehearsals,
oh,
man.
Oh, my God. They go right to the dirty.
Right?
The dirty dozen right there. Okay, let's go back to let's keep it pure now. So when did you want to start doing comedy?
I would say it always fascinated me as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I thought that it could become a reality was sometime in high school.
Okay, tell us about that moment. Did you have a like epiphany or?
Well,
like a moment where it clicked and you're like,
there's a couple things that happened.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a couple things
that
happened where one of the things was I like had been doing comedy and sketch and music videos and stuff like that in high school, but I wasn't like going all in on it. You know what I mean? I was still playing sports. I still had other hobbies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I got cut from the basketball team my junior year.
Damn.
And that was like the best thing that could have happened to me. It devastated me, but like looking back, it was one of the best things that happened.
Okay, if we like you've seen Back to the Future, what if? Wow, that was cool.
Yeah, man.
What if?
I have a
control. What if you got on the team? You wouldn't be here right now, right?
I might not be here.
Isn't that crazy?
We might have taken a picture, and then I like you know we're looking at it, and then all of a sudden I start fading away. I'm like, oh,
Wow! You would have been like all in, like dedicated to that.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, how these little choices could have altered your whole life.
Another thing, my dad, whenever I was younger, like I like was so frustrated, but my team started getting really good for soccer.
Oh, it got good?
It got really
like
good.
You guys go to regionals and stuff?
Yeah, the whole thing. Like I was like,
really?
I was ranked in the state as like goalie and stuff like that.
You were a goalie?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tim Howard.
What up?
U.S. men's soccer.
What up, dog?
Yeah.
Okay. Yo, okay. How's it going, player?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad, whenever we started getting really good, started getting more expensive because traveling started taking place. A lot of tournaments were on Sundays, and he just nixed it. He's like, nope.
Wait, why? Because it got too pricey?
Pricey, and he didn't like that we were playing on Sundays.
Oh, yeah. Because
it grew up super conservative.
Church.
Yeah.
Me too. I went to Christian Bible. I did the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
let's take a word from our sponsor real quick.
Okay, word from our sponsor. So our sponsor is BetterHelp.com, okay? Go to www.betterhelp.com/Stevie, all right? It's convenient, affordable, private, online counseling, anytime, anywhere, okay? It's professional and it's affordable. You can get matched up with a counselor that is right for you. There's 4 communication modes, text, chat, phone, and video. Start communicating in under 24 hours. Must be 18 or older. I would really highly recommend counseling. I'm doing therapy myself.
Yeah?
Yeah, once a week. So shout out to Dr. Choi there. And the reason why I like counseling is because I'm sober, but there's deeper issues that derivative from my my younger days that that's what my therapist does. We go into those moments, you know, like for you, for example, if that was me, we would have talked about the basketball, like getting, you know, not accepted on the basketball squad and how it affected you, but then it shaped your career now, you know, like the my therapist, we go that deep, like to my childhood, like this wrestling, this wrestling match that I lost. And if I would have won the state tournament, then I would have ended up here. And you know what I'm saying? We we analyze all that stuff. So counseling's great. Therapy's great. I highly recommend it, and go to betterhelp.com/Stevie to receive that. And use the preferred code Stevie. Okay. So, just give it a shot. if you ever thought about it, I would at least give it a try. It can't hurt, right? I've never met anyone that says, oh man, therapy ruined my life, you know? It can only help your life, right? Unless you have a horrible...
That's the best pitch off of that whole ad. Screw the copy. Just take that tagline.
Yeah.
See? I've never heard somebody in my life.
That makes me feel good. Thank you. Thank you. That makes me feel good. Yeah, Bryce, you happy about that?
That's good.
Okay, back to Jeremiah.
Again, no. Bryce is not here. There is no Bryce.
There is no Bryce.
I don't know. He keeps talking to this figment of his imagination behind the camera. Okay. He did it on my episode. He's doing it again. George exists. I see his pink dick from here. It's happening. But
Bryce is not there.
Bryce, no.
So George.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go back to the soccer. So your dad didn't like the soccer.
I feel like we're in a therapy session right now. So why don't we go back there, Jeremiah? Because it seems like some pebbles may have shifted in the universe that day and shaped the sand of the human that you became as you walked on the grains of time. Now, what's going on with you?
It was a very real moment. Mm-hmm. It was like a make it or break it moment.
Yeah.
Did you go, was there like, you know how like in the movies they go to the, a door and then they have the whole roster on.
Oh yeah.
Your name wasn't on there.
Yeah.
And then it crushed you.
I remember, cause my mom is so empathetic. I remember going home and crying with my mom. Yeah, I know. She cried with me. She's like, I know how much you want
it. I'm sorry.
I know.
That's it. You have a damn good mother.
She's a good mom.
That's it.
She's very understanding. Because she knew, like...
She knew how much it meant to you.
Yeah.
When did you start? You were just...
I played since I was a little kid. Okay, that's what was so crushing about it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when your dad told you it's done...
For the soccer,
For the soccer, and then...
That's whenever I started putting all my energy into basketball. Because I'd been playing basketball since I was a little kid, but, like, I'd gotten really strong at soccer. Mm-hmm. And then that's whenever I was like, okay, well, basketball tournaments and stuff, they're, like, never on Sundays for whatever. They're more like a Saturday or during the week kind of thing. So I was like, all right, this is my new thing.
Do you still watch... Are you a fan of soccer? Do you still watch soccer?
I never...
I'm a fan. I watch.
Yeah.
You know my brother loves.
Oh
you know,
yeah.
The FIFA. You guys have a notorious FIFA competition at the store, right?
Yeah. There's some comics who take a lot of pride ever beat him.
And they have.
Yeah, only a couple.
But
some of them have.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
I think Rich Slayton has beat him. Yeah.
Don't mention him in front of Bob.
Maybe Frank Castillo. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Don't quote me on that one.
We're going to get Frankie on here soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Castillo. I play video games with him every night.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Him and Griffin. Dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So, and Griffin's beating him.
Oh, yeah. Their relationship is hilarious.
Yeah. They're like brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They pick at each other all the time. Yeah.
So let's go back to, so the basketball ended too?
Pretty much my junior year. I still play, pickup games and stuff like that. And I even played a couple years ago. I played and there was comedian leagues and stuff like that. But I haven't recently, in the last couple years, because the games are on Monday nights and I always do Kill Tony at the Comedy Store on Monday nights. So I haven't played in a league for a while, but I still love the game. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Okay, so let's keep the trajectory going. Mm-hmm. So when did all those things, all the doors closed on those things?
Yeah.
When did you realize what am I going to do now? And then decide to do comedy.
Well, I in middle school and high school, like I said, I had started to do short films and sketches and music videos and stuff.
You had a camera back then too?
We had the program at my high school happened to be one of the top in the country.
Oh. They had an editing machine and everything.
They had everything.
ADAT.
This was when early Final Cut was out, iMovie and Final Cut and stuff like that. So I learned on Final Cut Pro.
So you learn all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good.
And my high school actually had better equipment than the community college that I went to.
You did?
I literally went to, I walked into the community college class and I was like, this is worse than what I just came from.
What, the gear?
The gear, everything. they're like they still had like analog editing machines that they were showing us, and we're like, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
I've been editing like on, you know, we had like Canon GL2s that used to be like a lot of
what are those cameras?
A lot of skaters used those back in the day with the handle on it. Those were like the most popular camcorders. I shot like skate videos and music videos with a bunch of music videos and sketches and short films
so
with
have
those Canon GL2s.
Skateboarding videos as well.
Just of other buddies and stuff. I was never good enough where like I was in them. I would literally like it would.
But you'd film them.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's memories, dude. Memories. Oh. Yeah.
So in high school, I started getting a little notoriety for that. I started winning awards
for editing and filming
for filmmaking and like broadcasting stuff. So like I started winning like awards with buddies at like the state and national level, and then I'm like, I think this is my thing.
Editing, filming,
video. Yeah, like just and like and most of the stuff that like I helped edit and stuff, I was like the lead in.
Yeah,
like I was acting, and then like I'd
so you had the best of both worlds.
Yeah, yeah, it was great.
You're in it, and then you got to
and
edit.
Then my buddies, yeah, we'd sit down afterwards and edit it. And
you guys submit your stuff to festivals or competitions?
Different broadcast competitions and different film festivals and stuff like that. And it was all at the high school level, but yeah, started winning stuff like that, and I was like, I think like I could make a career out of this.
Yeah. And then the comedy just came naturally after?
Yeah. It was one of those things where like I had always wanted to do it. And since I was a little kid, like one of my main driving factors, like was like, I wanted to be on Saturday Night Live. Like that was like a specific goal.
Did you watch
it
every week?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That was
like a household ritual, like even your mom watched
my
it.
Mom, my dad, we'd all sit down and watch it. And
how
yeah.
long has SNL been on the air?
Since 1975.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, I remember the old like Dan Aykroyd.
Oh yeah, of course.
Like Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who else was on? Who was some of the old? Was Bill Murray on it?
Yeah.
Bill Murray was.
Bill Murray, Brian Doyle Murray, like yeah.
And it's still. Yeah. It's just that. Boggles my mind how it's still.
Yeah, it's still.
It's like it's such a big. It's like a part of the fabric of just America and television.
Yeah,
it just. So that inspired you big time.
Yeah,
SNL
every
week,
and that's why I looked up going back to the Second City thing. I looked up Chris Farley,
and
I was like, where did they go before SNL?
Okay,
so that's why I ended up at Second City because Chris Farley and some of my other favorite guys
were from there.
Were from Second City,
so
like
you did
in Chicago
research.
And stuff like that. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So where are the Second Cities located?
There's a Second
America.
City. Well, there used to be one in Detroit, but the original one is in Chicago. There's one in Toronto, and then there's one in Los Angeles. And weighing what I was trying to do with like the filmmaking and like I wanted to audition and stuff like that, I was like, LA is my move. And I don't want to do stand up. So I was like, it's got everything I could possibly pursue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you just got a plane ticket and just flew out here?
No, my dad helped me pack my car, and my brother and I drove out from Kansas.
From Kansas?
It was a 25-hour drive, and we did it straight through.
How the hell did you do that?
It was horrible.
You didn't sleep it on the
road?
We took
turns.
Driving?
Sleeping. Yeah, driving and sleeping. It was horrible. I've done that three times now where I've gone with friends, like, and where we go, like, we make the trip and it takes about 25 to 26 hours every single time.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why not stay at hotels?
I only did that with my brother. Like we wanted to get out there. Like cause he flew back. He had a very small window of time, like that he could take off of work and stuff like that. So he took off like a weekend kind of thing where we were like, all right, we're gonna go.
We're going.
We had sleeping bags. We fell asleep on the apartment floor for like a few hours, and then we went to all the Goodwills in Los Angeles area to get me a bed. We checked Craigslist. We got my bed off Craigslist, like the frame at Goodwill, dressers at Goodwill, and Salvation Armies around. Wow. And I literally got all my stuff. He set me up, and then he flew back to Kansas.
Well, you found an apartment out here?
Yeah, I went. A month and a half prior in July.
Yeah.
Or in June, excuse me. And with a buddy who was thinking about moving out here with me, that fell through on his side. He's like, I can't do it. But I put down a payment and a credit check. And they're like, I'm like, if I get it, I'm supposed to move right now. And
the spot you're in right now?
I was at that spot for 5 years on Cahuenga.
Oh, you're on Cahuenga.
Well, I used to be on Cahuenga.
Yeah, I was on Whitley back in the day. Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't fun. It was like literally right off the boulevard.
Mine was right across the street from Public Park. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Some but shadiness.
It was shady, but we could.
Cockroaches everywhere.
It had this magic
everywhere.
Bubble over it where we could be as loud as we wanted. So comedians would come hang on this porch. Yeah. It was great. Yeah.
So you're in your.
We had Armenians on one side and crackheads on the other. And we're like, nobody's calling the cops here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's secure. It was perfect. Yeah. So you have your spot. Like, when after did you start hitting the open mic circuit? Or did you.
So I moved out in July 2009 and was doing like the improv stuff and taking classes and interning and everything. And then in 2010, that's whenever I started, January 2010, I started going all in like with stand up while I was taking the improv classes and stuff like that.
So where are some of the mics you're hitting? Like how many, cause I saw your Instagram the other day, you hit like 7 mics or like you did so much in one day.
Well, that was, I broke a personal best.
Oh,
I did 6 shows in LA in one night, which is really hard to do. In New York, you can do it easily, but in LA, it's pretty hard to do.
Yeah,
so I was pretty pumped.
I followed your story. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, it was.
So did you?
I started at 8 p.m. and then I literally ended at 2 a.m. like all the spots around town.
So were you always like that? Like when you first started? Like what mics were you hitting? Were you doing like a meltdown
It was all like a bunch of coffee shops and Isle West, which used to be a theater on Hollywood Boulevard that's no longer around. That was like a big one. Mm-hmm. And there's just like a bunch of coffee shops and like bars and different places like around LA that I would hit with different groups of friends and stuff like that. Yeah.
So when did you start networking? Like you just start meeting people doing that?
Yeah. I mean, you just naturally start meeting friends and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You get like a little bit of a friend group of like, kind of like-minded people like that. You see who has similar drive to you and who wants to hit it as hard as you. And you're naturally you kind of become friends with those people. And
you guys start throwing your own shows. Like
I started doing my show stand up on the spot, within the first year of me doing stand up at Second City. Like I've been doing that show for over 8 years now.
Wow.
Around LA.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
So what would you recommend? Any suggestions for someone who wants to pursue like the same thing you're doing? Like what are some like pointers you could give?
I mean,
is it just like constant work ethic?
I always tell people you gotta like absolutely love it. If you don't love it, you know, like it's just not one of those things that you're gonna, it's not a hobby. You know what I mean? It's a lifestyle. So that's what I always tell people right away. Like, how serious are you before I give you any further advice? Cause you know,
yeah, you have to love it.
Yeah. You have to be like in love with it. Yeah.
And you were in love with it since you were a kid, like SNL and everything. Yeah. So when did you make the jump from doing all those mics and all your shows to going to the Comedy Store? Because your name's on the store now, right?
Yeah.
So when did that go down? When did you start going from the mics to the store?
So I went to the Comedy Store once in 2010. I went there when like Jade Catapretta was hosting the potluck.
She's been on here.
Yeah,
shout out to Jade.
Yeah. And I did the mic and I was like, oh, I'm not quite ready. I'm going to build up more material and come back. And then,
you did the potluck.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Mondays or Sundays.
It used to be on Sundays and Mondays. Now it's just Mondays. But basically I went back after I built up material in the summer of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, I'm going to go every week until I become a paid regular. I was like, I'm going to hang out as much as I can. And I'm going to go as much as I can until I become a paid regular.
Well, explain to the viewers though, but it's not a set. You can't, it's basically a raffle, right? Like sometimes you don't get picked, right? To go up.
Yeah. You sign up on a list outside. There's like a bucket or a sign up sheet.
And you go
at the
like
front
during the daytime.
You have to sign up like around 6 PM and then the potluck starts at 7 PM. So you have to get there a little bit before 6, wait like an hour to even see if your name is on the wall. So going back to the basketball thing, it's like this weird recurring thing that I'd have to go look and see if my name was on the list every week. But it was, they said that it was completely random, but it used to be very political. Now it's truly random.
When Tommy was there?
Yeah. That's whenever it was like really political. Like the guys who ran the mic used to be like, I want to put that guy on or I want to put that girl on. But now it's truly like random out of a bucket kind of thing.
Because Adam's in charge now.
Yeah, and it's more just like, yeah.
So whatever happened with Tommy, like, explain to the viewers who Tommy was.
what a great question, Steve. He was the former
talent coordinator.
He was a talent coordinator. Yeah. And basically he was the talent coordinator for years during what's considered at the Comedy Store some of the dark times.
Yeah. Why do people label it the dark times?
There was a very, very dark energy that was there. The attendance wasn't great.
When Tommy was in charge.
Well, before him, it was even worse. And then it got a little bit better, supposedly.
Who was before Tommy?
I don't remember. Yeah, that was, because that was before my time.
Right. That was probably in the 90s or something.
Yeah. I heard that that area got real dark. Like, basically, there's a big comedy boom in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Then it slumped, and that's whenever, like, in the early 2000s and stuff, like, they went through a couple different talent coordinators, and it was, like, the dark times of the store, because this is all me hearing what the older comics told me.
I love it. It's interesting to me.
They would have trouble. They used to have at least 5 people or 10 people to start the shows in the original room, and sometimes they would have to wait an hour to get that many people to show up.
How much was a ticket to get in there in the OR?
It's between 10 and 20 bucks, depending on the night.
Like, so even on a potluck, they have to pay?
The potluck is free on Mondays.
Oh, so people can come off the street?
Show up, yeah. Just show up and be free before like 10 o'clock, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard rumors, and this is not just me, of the hauntings there.
Oh, yeah.
Have you had personal experiences with ghosts at the Comedy Store?
I have had... You know when you have like a deep, like dark feeling that you get, or
of
a presence or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
I've felt it a couple times. Like,
where? What room? Where were you at?
In like the back of the main room was one of the first times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was there too once because Bob, I was just tagging along and it was, no one was in there. My brother, like, there's a piano in there. I don't know if it's still there, but he'd go there and play the piano. Mm-hmm. But I was always scared because it was dark.
Yeah.
But I felt something in there. Like, I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
So that's what you felt?
Yeah. In the back of the main room, like I felt like, like literally like out of nowhere, my heart starts racing and like you start feeling like adrenaline, like in your voice, like inside your head is like, get out of here. Like that instant feeling like something bad is about to happen.
And you're
or something
not tripping. This
running.
Is other people have done this too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I felt it also in the back stairwell of leading up to like the manager's office, like in like
the heart of the Comedy Store, there,
like near the belly room.
Isn't that locked now?
Some of it is locked, yeah.
Mitzi's office?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's scary up there.
Yeah, there's some, it's weird energies up there for sure.
Now, historically speaking, what was it a restaurant or some kind of like...
Well, it used to be a nightclub called Ciro's.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the mob owned it. So they shot a lot of people and they did abortions in the basement. So there's like a lot of unsettled souls and stuff that are in the Comedy Store. And they used to have it. It's all patched up and sealed up now. But they used to have holes in different parts of in some of the rooms where they would literally stick like Tommy guns or like assault rifles and like gun people down like through the openings in the walls.
What?
Yeah. I feel like this is great.
I love it. I love where it's going.
Okay. Good.
I love where
good.
It's going. Oh yeah. I love. Yeah. People like
this. This is way more like NPR-y than I thought I was going to be. Like, well, I started off as a kid and I had this dream to be a basketball player.
No. We're gonna go back. Okay. So let's go back to Tommy. Okay. So when did you?
Yeah, let's get back on course. I'll show you the base of my penis again. Did you hear what Georgia said, man?
Bryce, cool, I don't know about him tonight.
Off the rails.
Who are you talking to?
Oh yeah, you're right. It's in charge. Did Tommy take a liking to you through time?
He did. I was one of the few. There's a handful of people that he was like good to, or that he thought I showed promise and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So he gave me like a lot of spots and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like during the week, like that's he played head games with everybody and different stuff like that. Like
with other comics,
with everybody, I went through that just like everybody did.
Yeah.
Like kind of just like, whenever somebody has power, sometimes they either hold it over you or they're cool about it. And sometimes you kind of hold it over people. And then other times you give like great advice and stuff like that. Right. So Yeah.
Was highly political at the store.
It was very political. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Now it's a little bit more. This is different. It's just more like kind of direct. Like if Adam
likes you,
and he'll give you spots, like, and he'll tell you. And then if he doesn't, like, he's told people, like, I'm not going to book you here. Like, you're not the flavor for the store. Like, he's very direct because
you've heard him say these things.
From other people, like, saying, like, yeah, this is just kind of how it is, because there's so many people trying to get in there now because it's the hottest club in the country.
Yeah.
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 So it's like, so anybody who's on those lineups, like, really should be pretty grateful.
So how many years did it take you to actually get your name written on the store?
I started going every week in July of 2010, and then in September of 2016 was whenever it got my name on the wall.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you definitely have to pay your dues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Because my brother, I mean, I don't know the details, but I know he had to start from La Jolla.
Yeah. He started in La Jolla.
Have you been down to the La Jolla store?
Yeah. Yeah. A bunch. Yeah. Yeah.
And you stay at the condo and get the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah.
It's awesome.
So when did you start? How did you meet Tony? Is it Hedgecliff?
Hinchcliffe, yeah.
Yeah. When did you start meeting people like that?
He was one of the guys who took a liking to me on the potluck, because he used to host it a lot, and I would do new and different material every week.
Every week. And you wouldn't do the same routine.
No, that was one of the things, like, one of the reasons I went away for a little bit was to build up material.
Yeah.
So I could have just, like, new stuff every week and keep writing and doing stuff like that. So I would always have, like, pretty good sets, or at least I would get the energy up in the room. Mm-hmm. Even if the set wasn't amazing,
I'd
be one of those guys where it would affect the show in a good way.
And
so people started liking to put me up because I, like, regardless of whether the set was amazing, like, I'd get
the
energy going in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, this is a common theme, like bombing.
Yeah, sure.
Did you go through that throughout
your...
So do you remember, we hear a couple stories where, like, I mean, did it, like, really affect you?
Some bombs affect you, more than others.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain things where you don't, like, anytime you get heckled or something, you don't have, early on, you literally don't have the tool set as a comedian to know how to deal with it.
So, like, when did heckling start happening in your world?
It rarely at clubs. It's whenever I was doing bar shows or venues that were, like, random.
Oh.
Like, I remember in this one show, there's, like, this random stage theater show. I used to wear a red jacket on stage, and I would wear, like, graphic tees underneath.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
It's not good.
Oh, because it's like you're putting a target on yourself on stage or something?
Anytime you wear a graphic tee... Mm-hmm. Which I'm kind of wearing right now. Anything
it's
fine. With
it's a music tee. It's fine.
Yeah, it's my
fine.
Band.
You're
it's
fine.
My band,
yeah. What's the name of it?
Reagan and Watkins.
Reagan and Watkins. Check it out on iTunes.
Coming soon
on iTunes.
We're about to drop the debut album.
Okay. Good. Yeah, good. Good. Yeah. I saw. Like, we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about it at the end.
Let's promote that at the end.
Yeah.
But go back to these bars.
So I would do these shows, like, where I, like, had a shirt of, like, Iron Man on it or something like that.
What's wrong with that? I mean, you're a fan of Iron Man.
Right, exactly. It's not the best for the stage necessarily, because a drunk person literally in the middle of, like, a setup to one of my jokes goes, like, Iron Man. And I didn't even realize that I had that shirt on. And I'm like, excuse me? He's like, Iron Man. And now, like, the whole crowd is like, what's going on? And I was like, what are you saying? He's like, Iron Man. You're wearing a shirt that has Iron Man on it. And that's when I was like, I need to stop doing it, because it buried me, like, after because, like, I didn't have the tool set as a comedian to be like, oh yeah, I'm wearing the shirt, or, like, riff, or, like, talk with that guy. I was what? Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway, on to the next joke.
Yeah,
like, and then whenever the audience doesn't realize that you're not present and you don't know how to deal with things, they shut down because they're like, oh, this guy's not a professional. They doesn't know how to deal with little things in the room.
So when that first happened to you, does panic set in? Because you're saying you didn't have the tools.
Well, yeah. Well, early on, definitely panic because there's this something inside your gut that's saying you need to address this somehow. But whenever you're early on in comedy, you bury that voice and you just go,
this is not happening.
On to the next thing. And you you literally like, it'd be literally like if a woman like during a show like ran up on stage and like flashed the audience and you were just like,
anyway.
So traffic is weird lately, and people are like, you're not going to address the woman that just flashed the audience? Like,
you have to address it.
You have to address certain things.
You can't try to fake them out. They're seeing what's going on.
Yeah, otherwise they're like, why is this guy on autopilot? This is weird.
Yeah. And then it affects the set.
Mm-hmm.
So how many times that happened to you more than once?
Well, it happens a lot. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
It happens a lot early on. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're a comedian, because you literally have to fail so many times before you get comfortable enough where you're like, oh, let me take this beat. Let me address this situation and then I can move on. Because your brain, whenever you get frazzled, whenever you don't have the stage confidence that you need, you just know what's the next part of the story or the next beat. And you're just trying to get there rather than putting kind of a pause on it and then resuming it. Mm-hmm. Like it takes mentally, it takes a bit to be able to pause something, address something else and then go back to it. Mm-hmm. So it happens a lot whenever you're younger. So like my worst bomb story, which I've shared on some podcasts is I was at the Laugh Factory.
Right there off the boulevard.
Right there. Mm-hmm. Off the boulevard.
Off the boulevard.
Right. That's what they say. It says Laugh Factory right off the boulevard on the marquee.
Okay.
We make laughs.
Keep going.
So it was my buddy's birthday. This is what made it like even worse. My buddy's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
He had seen me. We'd been working together at Second City and stuff.
How many years in comedy have you been doing it?
This was only a couple years in.
3 years?
And I was 2-3 years in, and
so
I had already been
fresh still.
I was still fresh, yeah, and I was getting booked at the Laugh Factory, mm-hmm. and it was great.
Yeah.
So it's my buddy's birthday. Mm-hmm. He's been my writing partner at Second City, mm-hmm. and since then for years we've written scripts and stuff. And he invited multiple friends out because he's like, my friend's been killing it lately. He's at the Laugh Factory. It's going to be amazing. It's my birthday. You should come out. So he like used his birthday to get
people
and friends into the show.
Show was it? Was it an open mic or was it a show?
Do you know PK? Do you know him? Paul Kim?
I've heard of him. Yeah.
So he I think he still runs some shows there. He's a buddy from back in the day.
Yeah, he's ordered Bobby and stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was his show and he had me on going on a perfect time of the show. I was like doing like a short guest set. It was like a 7-minute spot, right?
So that's pretty reasonable to do 5 to 7 minutes, right? Like
whenever you're starting out.
When you're starting out,
that's like a good set.
Yeah, it's a good set.
You're like, you're pumped
to
do that much.
You start at 3, then 5.
Yeah, you work your way up.
So you had 7.
Yeah, easily. Yeah. But for this set, I've always been really physical on stage.
Yeah,
use my body
a
lot.
I've seen you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But it used to not be dialed in like it is now. So it used to be a little bit more chaotic, where it's more of a controlled chaos kind of thing. Now where I know exactly how far my reach is. I know that I'm not going to kick this camera if I put my foot up and stuff like that. And before I used to just like completely just like convulse and like go all
just
over
like
the stage.
Free association.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I ended up during an act out that I was going crazy. I kicked a stool into the audience and it went on the front row. It spilled this guy's drinks. It went all over his iPhone, his wallet, his lap, his date.
Oh my God, Jeremiah.
The waitresses up and they're literally toweling this poor guy off. And he's like fuming, just
anger.
Red in the face. His vein is like popping on his forehead. And he looks like he's going to stand up and like punch me in the face. And I literally go, I'm so sorry. And then I went into my next joke. I didn't address it properly at all.
Oh,
and the audience is just like,
Jeremiah. I'm feeling so uncomfortable listening to
it. I'm sweating just thinking about it. I'm just like, ugh. And I didn't address the situation.
But you made amends. You said amends.
I said I'm sorry, but literally while I'm going into the next bit, more waitresses are coming
by.
What
are you supposed to do in that situation, man?
And what I would have done now,
go ahead.
I would have offered to buy the guy drinks. I would have started talking to him, been like, man, this is, you know, I would have humanized myself a little bit more, tried to
address
get on his
what you just
playing
did.
Field, address what I just did,
yeah.
Kind of admit to the audience that I was a dick and that I made a mistake, and try to make jokes about it and try to get other people involved and then move on if I even had enough time to. But I literally went into my next bit and I just bombed harder and harder and harder till there was like no laughs. And I was like, that's my time. Thank you.
Was it packed?
Oh, it was sold out.
Even the upstairs?
Yeah, it was packed. It was. And I was doing so well before that.
Oh,
it
you
was
were?
Like, I'm killing it. The laugh back at this grave, my friend. Dude.
That one kick.
My friend, after the show, whose birthday it was, he had to tell his friends, he's like,
sorry about Jeremiah.
He's like, he's usually funnier than this. I'm sorry. And then I had to see the friends afterwards, and they were like,
they're like,
yeah, man.
Oh,
they give
yeah.
you that good luck thing.
Good luck. Good luck. So, but do you learn from it?
Yeah.
Okay, you got a couple more of those stories?
I mean, I got one with your brother.
Yeah. Go ahead. So, when did my brother start taking you on the road, and how did he?
He saw me at Potluck at the Comedy Store.
So he saw you.
He saw me live, and
he was there that early.
He used to hang out before he started dating Kalilah. He used to hang out because I think he just like didn't have. He had a bunch of extra time on his hands, and he was just kind of like. He's always been good about like helping the next crop of comics.
Course.
He's really
helped a lot
good
of
about
people.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
And he used to just go and hang out and see if there was good people. And he literally, if you had Bobby pull you aside after the open mic, you had a great set. Like if he pulled you aside, because he'd sit in the back and then he'd be like, he'd be watching. And then all of a sudden, if you got him, you'd hear,
the hyena. So he gave you the hyena.
So yeah, I talked to him outside and stuff like that one night at the Comedy Store. And
dude,
I want to
take you on the road, dude. He offered you a guest spot.
Pretty much, yeah.
Brea?
At like Irvine or something like that. Like Brea.
Improv.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you like, oh my God, this is it?
Yeah, I mean, I was like, oh man, this is how it starts.
Yeah.
This is how it starts. Bobby Lee pulls you aside, says, you got some moxie,
this is how
kid.
It starts. Oh my God. Okay, so what did he guarantee you? He's like, okay, you got 5 minutes.
Well,
dude.
He had me host. He's like
you're gonna MC.
You got high energy. He's like have you ever hosted before? And I was like, yeah, I've been hosting like my show like that I've been doing.
Yeah. What does hosting entail? Tell the viewers, what do you have to do as a host to MC a comedy night? What do you have to do?
Well, after being experienced on both sides of it, some people just say a host is somebody who goes up first and brings up the other comics. Don't you have to warm it up a little bit though? Well, I mean, I think that the hosting spot is something that's completely different, where you have to get the crowd ready for the show, which is some comics
it's
will
difficult.
Just do their set and then literally bring up the next comic. I don't think that that's hosting. I don't think that that's what hosting is.
Okay, so when did you realize that you have to warm them up? Like,
I mean,
just trial and error.
I knew that kind of quickly, just with my style, energy wise. Like my energy, like helped me through. It helped me through not bombing a lot of times, just because I was just like, yeah, you know, we're having a good time. Hey, what's going on? Oh, yeah, you good? It's like like that helps a lot.
Yeah.
Like whenever you don't have the jokes,
your energy,
the energy. Yeah, so.
So you learned as you went then.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just kind of threw myself into it. And so he would have me host on.
So you're hosting that first time in Irvine.
I think so. It was like one of those. Yeah. It was like Irvine or Brea or
Keep going.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hosting
is, it's different from being a sponsor. You're kind of the glue that holds the show together, keeps the momentum going, and you're setting up
all the comics
for success. That's what I think a host
is.
You're
setting it up. You're setting it. Okay.
Yeah. The time with your brother, we did this corporate gig in Vegas. Okay.
Okay.
And, he literally called me the day before and he goes, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm like, I don't know. I can clear something if something's important. I had like one like little show or something.
Yeah.
He goes, we're going to Vegas tomorrow. I got a corporate gig. I was like, okay. He goes, you're going to drive. I'm like, okay. And I was like, I was stoked.
Yeah.
Next day, we rent a brand new Dodge Challenger.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's like, take the keys. You're driving us to Vegas. And dude, I still have the same car that I did back then. It's like a 98 Acura CL.
Yeah.
So to get to drive
that was
with
nice.
Bobby to Vegas, I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever.
This is, you're doing the right thing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Things are happening.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And so this is like three. At this point, I had been like hosting for him for a long time and starting to feature for him on the road. Mm-hmm. This is like probably 3 or 4 years into this point. Mm-hmm. So at that point, we're on the way to Vegas and he keeps telling me, he goes, you're going to bomb tonight, dude. I go, what? He goes, tonight, you're going to bomb. And I'm like, you know, at first I'm laughing around. I'm like, you're crazy, Bobby.
Dude, and then you got him down pretty good right there.
And he goes,
I felt Bob right there. I'm like, yeah, that's
and then
something
he goes,
he would say.
And then he goes,
dude.
No. You're going to bomb. I'm like, what? And after a while, like, he literally keeps saying, it's like a 5-hour, 6-hour drive to Vegas. He keeps saying this multiple times throughout the hour after we change conversation, after like we're not even on that topic. He's like, you know, tonight, like literally we'll be on a completely different subject. He's like, we're having a good time laughing about something else. He's like, yeah, but seriously, tonight you're going to bomb. And I'm like, now I'm starting to get a little pissed. I'm like, dude, why do you keep saying this? Like, why are you trying to get into my head?
He
like, what are you doing?
He knew what type of gig it was.
He knew what kind of gig it was.
He knew what type
he
of
goes,
gig.
He goes, Jeremiah, I'm being serious. He's like, prepare yourself to bomb because it's going to happen. And the comedian inside of me, I'm like, man, I'm not going to bomb. Like, I'm like, you know, I'm like 4 years in a comedy at this point. I'm like, I'm going to make this thing happen. You know, we get there. They're doing a raffle in this giant ballroom.
Who's they?
This corporate gig.
Oh, jeez.
There's a bunch of rich white people in one room. There's
older
white people.
Oh my God.
This is whenever I knew I was going to bomb. They had all the women get up out of the room and leave the room where it's just white older men. I was like, Oh no. You're splitting half my audience.
Illuminati time.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't, it was weird. They didn't want the women laughing at the dirty jokes that were about to be said. It was very bizarre.
So that's when the seed was planted. You're like, this
I was like, oh, I might bomb. I might
you
bomb.
Might
tonight.
Yeah.
That's when
yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
I might bomb.
You might bomb.
It might happen.
Yeah, how many of those old dudes were there?
Dude, there was hundreds. It was a giant ballroom at like the Wynn
like
or the Encore.
It was like a convention.
They just done a raffle.
Oh my God.
Bobby didn't tell them that he was bringing me. So
you're not supposed to be there.
I'm not supposed to be there. Because Bobby is contractually bound to do 30 or 40 minutes.
Just his material. But he's
and he goes, all right, man.
go ahead.
I want you to do 5 minutes, okay? But if you want to make me really happy, do 8. I was like, okay, I'll do that.
Oh my God.
I go out there. Mm-hmm. They are all expecting to see Bobby. I come out.
Was it cricket?
Red jacket on. Right after a raffle.
I'm sorry, man. This,
and they announced me. Literally, the guy's like, I guess Bobby Lee brought an opener. This is my intro. I guess Bobby Lee brought an opener. Yeah. Hope he's good. Jeremiah Watkins.
Some old guy's bringing you
this
up.
This
like
guy's
that?
Bringing it from a note. He's reading off a note card.
Stuff,
no enthusiasm.
Stuff.
There's like 4 claps in the room. They're all pissed that I'm there. They're all very upset that it's not Bobby Lee that's coming out from behind the curtain because these are all rich white guys.
Yeah,
you don't throw curveballs at rich white guys. They want what they want, and they hired Bobby for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
So I go out there.
Your physical stuff.
Oh, I'm so physical. I'm like, hey, what's going on, guys? Like, I'm doing act outs and stuff like that. Doing the whole thing. Super high energy. Hey, how's everybody doing?
Nothing.
And I tell my first joke, and I'm like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Nothing in the entire room until I hear one laugh, and it's Bobby backstage dying laughing at how bad I'm bombing. And I'm looking around the room, and now I'm like, oh no, he's right, he's right, he's right, he's right. And I'm 40 seconds into my set.
Were you panicking?
I started to panic. I was like, just stick to your script.
So you still had 7 minutes to go.
I had 7 minutes to go.
Oh man.
Minute. So I keep doing different business stuff. I stay in the pocket. I'm committing to everything.
Yeah, just committing.
I'm going.
Yeah.
At one point, I'm literally humping a stool on the ground in front of all these like white rich people. An old man. This is at minute six of the set.
Yeah.
An old man stands up, and he goes, "Get off the stage!" And I was like, Bobby is maniacally dying at this point. He's backstage. I'm hearing he's the only person that's laughing, and he is just cackling so loud behind the curtain, stage left. And the guy repeats himself, this old white-haired man. He's like, "Get off the stage now!" And I'm like, I go back into material. I don't address the guy. I was like, it's too late. I only got 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
I finish the bit. I'm like, "Thank you. That's my time." A few people, and I'm like, "Now are you guys ready for your headliner?" Giant energy all of a sudden. And then I'm like, "Bobby Lee." He comes out there. He murders.
What?
For like 35 minutes straight. Murders. And then after the show, the booker and everybody like is like, "Bobby, that's the best show I've ever seen. Oh my God, that was so amazing. It was so great." I'm standing next to Bobby during all of this, and Bobby just keeps going. He's like, and then like after he's like, "I told you, dude. I told you you're gonna bomb, man." And the booker comes up to us after the show, and he's like, "Bobby, this is so great. Thank you so much for coming here." And then he just looks over at me and he goes, "Good luck with your career, man." And Bobby keeps smiling. He's getting so much joy out of all of this. Every person that comes up to him and praises him, literally, it's like I'm a ghost, and their hand is going through me to pat Bobby on the shoulder. Just so it's not going to happen. You're delusional.
Do you guys get steaks after?
We did.
He owed you a steak.
He treated me
so good,
to the
right?
biggest prime
Italian
rib.
Italian dinner?
Prime rib of my life.
I know my brother so well.
The chef knew Bobby.
Yeah.
He was a fan of his on Mad TV. The prime rib that was literally,
I love it.
It was this thick. I'm not even joking. He came and he cut it right in front of us. It was this thick. It was so much I couldn't even eat it. And I'm from Kansas. I'm poor. Yeah, yeah. I couldn't even finish it. And Bobby has this thing where whenever you with him,
he want to make it up to you, man.
He want to make it. He knew that I was a sacrificial lamb in the situation.
Set you up,
he knew
man.
That he was going to look amazing if he put me out to bomb. Like that's why he chose me for the gig. He's like, he's got good energy. He'll stay in the pocket, and then I'll do well. You know,
he doesn't want to bring people that that do fairly well.
We don't go on the road together anymore.
Because you got to, see, that's a good sign, though. I mean, no, I know it bums you out,
no,
but that must tell you something. You got.
I graduated.
Yeah, dude. Hey, man, I love that story. That was amazing. Just how we doing on time? I want to hear. I love his stories. We're really good. Just do you got one more story like that? You must have one more in there. Come on. Yeah.
Of a bombing story?
Yeah. Or just a funny gig like that. I love those gigs.
Just stories. Like gig stories?
Yeah. Then we're going to get it and start promoting all your stuff.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think of something. I mean, there's so many bad gigs that I don't like. Some of them kind of blur together because you also some of them you kind of have to block out because
I have a question. How do you get over those bad experiences?
Well, with every low, there's a yin and yang to everything.
I like that, buddy. Yeah.
So anytime you have a really bad bomb, there's a great set that's around the corner. Or if you've been killing it lately, there's a bomb that's hiding right around the corner that's about to come. It's like That's kind of how the universe balances it out. So you also, so you don't get like too, like, so you stay humble and stuff like that. And for me, at least.
I bombed. I opened for Bob at the Tempe Improv.
Oh, yeah.
Packed. I bombed bad.
Yeah.
I did a cowboy rap. And then the MC had to come and save me. He goes, okay. And then they cut me out of the the other shows.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I had to drive back home. Like, I just,
how long was that drive?
Well, that was only from Tempe to Gilbert, so it was about 15-minute drive.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I never, I didn't do it after that. But the thing is, I never had a lot, like, because you said the love, like, my love is mostly just in music.
Mm-hmm.
And I like comedy, but it's like, yeah, you have to, you're right, you have to really love it.
Yeah.
To go through that stuff, because it's kind of demeaning, you know?
Well, you made, like, you know, albums and stuff like that. And,
oh, yeah.
And it's super intense and, like, repetitive to, like, get stuff how you want it. And it's like, if you don't love it, then, like, it's never going to come out, you know?
Yeah. That's a good analogy. You have to really craft it to how you want.
Yeah.
That's a great analogy. But, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah.
man. This isn't necessarily... Well, this could be considered somewhat of a bombing story. This is a fun one. This happened at the Comedy Store where... I was going up super late night at the Comedy Store in the original room. And this is whenever I used to get like the friends and family spots at the Comedy Store where you'd get like 5 or 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. You graduate from 3 minutes is the first tier open mic. And then you friends and family and employees of the store, you get more like 5, 6 minutes in that next area. Mm-hmm. So I was going on late night and this is under the old town coordinator.
In the OR?
In the original room. Mm-hmm. So I was going on like even after the paid regulars. Okay. I would go on at like the very end of the night.
Like at 1, 2 in the morning?
1:30. Like 1:30, 2
in the
morning.
Were there people in the
crowd? There's sometimes people in the crowd.
Okay.
So I go up and I do this set. And the set is going pretty well. It's like going okay. Excuse me. That bubbly water. Mm-hmm. It's going pretty well, but I see that there's just these two ladies who are like not really giving it up. You know what I mean? She's got like a fedora on.
Tourists?
I don't know. I see them. And I'm just like, they look like kind of attractive, but the lighting's not great. I'm just like, why are they not giving it up? And I had been doing pretty well with the other people that are there, and there's only like probably 15, 20 people in the OR scattered across the room in like a 200 seat room, right? And I had been like singing and dancing. I'm doing everything I can to get some kind of reaction out of this crowd late night because they're spent for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And I get up at the two ladies that were sitting there and I'm I stand on the table in front of them. I'm like, is this not good enough for you? I'm doing everything I got up here. Yeah. And I'm just like going off like, you know, in jest, but like going off and being like, what else do I got to do? I continue on with my bit and she gives me a standing ovation. She starts laughing and stuff after I'm like singing and dancing and doing all this like stuff. I was like doing like random impressions and stuff like that. She gives me a standing ovation at the end of my set.
Oh, wow.
And the host was my buddy, Eric Marino. He goes back up there and he goes, Jeremiah, do you have any idea who you were just yelling at? I go, no. Who? And he goes, Miss... Not to call you out, but are you Janet Jackson? and she blushes and she nods. And I just started jumping up and down in the back, just giggling, just laughing so hard because I just yelled at Janet Jackson for her not being impressed with my singing and my dancing.
Janet Jackson.
On stage. It was Janet Jackson. She's seen literally the best in the world. And no wonder she's just like looking at me.
Oh my God. That's like, a great story. That's a great, we'll end it with that. That was a great ender. Let's start promoting. Thanks for coming on again,
dude,
man.
Thanks
I loved it. We got to have a part two. This is so fun.
We'll get even weirder on the second one.
Yeah,
this
so
is
fun.
Very story based, but it's fun.
Let's talk about your band and I saw some of it. I liked it. You had a video.
I just
on,
put out
yeah,
a new
yeah.
music video.
So when is that album?
Reagan
and Watkins.
Reagan and Watkins.
When is it dropping?
It should be dropping in December or January.
Okay, cool.
We're finishing up right now. We got like our final mixes. It's about to go to mastering right now.
That's great. So we're really excited. Good for you. Are you going to press up CDs and or tapes?
Yeah, we're going to do a limited run of CDs and vinyl.
Good.
So, yeah.
How many songs do you think will be on there?
Well, it's a 23-track album.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's got audio sketches like the old school, like Sandler and Tenacious D and stuff like that.
Doing your podcast, I saw like the old, because comedians back then, they did albums.
Yeah.
So you're going, you're bringing it back to like homage to that.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
So it'll be fun.
Who's doing, do you have the cover all done and everything?
We need to shoot the cover and stuff like that.
Okay. And is it going to be online too?
It'll be on Spotify, iTunes, everything.
Okay. Can you tell the viewers your Instagram?
Oh yeah. At Jeremiah Standup. Mm-hmm. All across social media, Instagram, Twitter, and all that stuff.
And you have a website too, right?
JeremiahWatkins.tv or .com, whatever your fancy is. Yeah.
Do you have any shows that you would like to promote in the future?
Every second Tuesday of the month, I have my show Stand Up on the Spot in the belly room of the Comedy Store. Mm-hmm. And that's the show that I've been doing over 8 years where you go on stage with no prepared material, ask the audience for suggestions. They yell stuff out and you have to create Stand Up on the Spot. Yeah, and that's super fun.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Bobby hates it. But
yeah, I was just gonna say my brother
hates it, dude. Yeah, he's done it, and he's great. He's great at it, but he's like he likes knowing exactly what he's
gonna
say.
Gonna do. Yeah,
but he's so good at riffing. I'm just like, dude,
just riff.
Yeah.
So, how much are tickets for that in the building?
That's like $10, and then like everything else. Like I go on tour with Tony Hinchcliffe a lot, like, and I'm on the road with Kill Tony and like the Comedy Jam, and
doesn't he have a podcast too?
Yeah, we do Kill Tony live out of the Comedy Store and every Monday.
How do people tune into that?
That's on YouTube. We stream it live on YouTube at youtube.com/KillTony every week. And
cool,
yeah. And then it's released on iTunes and everywhere else. Like
that was awesome. This is one of the funner episodes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, for me.
Thank you. Jeremiah Wonders?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So if you wanted, I'm on Jeremiah Wonders. It's on your YouTube, right?
Yeah, it's on. Yeah. If you type in Jeremiah Wonders, you're one of the first videos that comes up.
So check that out. We had a lot of fun.
Dude,
that was fun.
I got a lot of compliments on that episode.
You did?
Yeah.
Like the way we did the voices.
Everything. Yeah, like the stories and everything that I shared. Yeah.
I loved it.
It was good.
So now it's time for to give some shout outs to our supporters. We have four new Patreons. Daniel Listoy. Alex Kawashima, Cruz Benali, and George Kimmel.
Nice.
Wow, this guy's
this is a generous guy.
Yeah, he's very generous.
Yeah, he's a guy who puts the dollar in the bucket, making sure everybody sees her.
Yeah, right? you definitely got George Kimmel, everyone.
Yeah.
George Kimmel. I'm working on a new music project myself. I'm close to finishing it. It's going to be at stevieweebybandcamp.com. It's going to be called Collage of the Mirage. Two new people this week bought music, Landon Lintz and Haley Jimenez. So thank you for that. And the album should be done shortly. If you want to become a patron, go to patreon.com/stevieweeby. I'm doing a new diary series through George's suggestion, where every Monday I give you about a 10 to 15 minute clip of just exclusive stuff of just a diary log. So you'll get stuff like that. And that's for all my, it's bonus content. Exclusively available at patreon.com/stevieweeby. If you want to follow the show, go to Instagram/QUANGOU. If you want to send stuff, we have a bunch of stuff and I want you to open it in a few minutes. Send it to the Stevie Weeby Show at 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California 90093. And speaking of that, we have some stuff that people sent. Do you mind opening some of the stuff?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this first one specifically says, don't open until you're with George. So this should be good.
Wow.
I'm gonna.
All right, what do you think's in there, Steve?
Stickers?
Okay, let's.
Stickers.
For Steve, for George.
What about Bryce?
Oh, well, Bryce is not here. Remember, Bryce is our imaginary friend. Oh, wow.
Stickers, dude.
Stickers, I was right.
Looks like there's a patch in there, too.
Mm-hmm. And let's see
there might be some note in there as well. Let's,
Oh, there is. Mm. Oh, wow.
Mm. Oh, it's a...
Wow. A patch, too.
It's a little red patch.
And you got a letter, too.
Can you read it for the viewers? I'd like my guests reading it. This is amazing. I'm going to definitely put that on somewhere.
Hey, Steve. I've been a fan of Bobby since I was 11 years old, but only recently discovered you after starting to listen to Tiger Belly. I've since listened to every episode of the Stevie Weeby Show, and even went back and listened to the DVD ASA episode that had you in them. And I must say, it's great to see how far you've come since those days. My favorite episodes of the Stevie Weeby Show are the ones that introduced me to really cool people like Leilani and Omniboy and Jeremiah Watkins. Cool. I'm 18 years old and you and your brother are such cool dudes and you inspire me to want to be a cool dude when I'm your age. Along with some random stickers of drawings I did for my local clothing brand, I've sent you something that I hope you'll appreciate. I love Little Ray so much. I've made a glorious creation in his image. For the past few months, I've learned to embroider patches and have been doing custom work for people online. I hope you like this Little Ray patch because I had a lot of fun making it. I also put up a video of the process of me making it on Instagram, which is at Trader Joe Outlaw. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the gift. And once again, Steve, thank you for being you, Noah Ferris.
Oh, wow. So that's from Electric Grandson. Thank you so much. I'm going to definitely put that patch.
Oh, wow. For George, this is a cease and desist letter.
go ahead, Jeremiah.
This is very strange.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I prefer Bryce to you. I just wanted to make sure very you strange. Were here to know that.
What? Look at this patch.
Uh-oh.
That's pretty cool. Look at this, dude.
Oh, no.
Look at this.
Oh, my God.
This is some good embroidery
work.
You
gotta put that on a jacket, dude.
You gotta put this on a jacket.
You gotta do this. Look how mad Bryce is getting. Where's Bryce? He's quitting.
You already were back in Michigan, Bryce. That's what he made.
Hey, no fighting. Hey, no fighting right now. This is all good times here. I know.
He was gone for a month and a half.
I know, but he's here now. He's here now, George.
You want me to read George's too?
Yes. Yeah, the whole thing.
Hey, George, how you doing? I think you saw the video of me making the Little Ray patch, so I figured I'd surprise you with some, too. I'm 18 and I've been making custom patches for people for a few months now. I love TB and the CB Weeby Show, and I think you're a really cool guy. I look up to you just because you're someone out here doing stuff, which is all I'm trying to do. I make videos and drawings and stuff. I've also been a fan of Steve Green since I was in middle school, becoming aware of you, I found out how much of a role you played in his videos. I hope you like those patches, and I really appreciate all the stuff you produce and hope you're around for a long time. No affairs. P.S. Please let Bobby see the pink dick patch.
Okay, and that's thanks again to Electric Grandson. That's amazing. Hey,
let's
for you.
Yeah, that's
okay. So next up, this is fun, right, Jeremiah?
Yeah. opening other people's fan mail.
Mark Z.
Okay,
It feels like a postcard. Postcards.
Okay. Oh, don't look. You can't peek, dude. You're breaking the rules, man. All right, look away. What is it?
What is it, dude?
It's a letter.
Make your decision.
A poster. A poster with a letter.
There's a lot of stuff in here, actually.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. Just a bunch of nudes. stickers. A bunch of stickers.
Cool.
That's cool.
Let me take a look at it. Z-Prem 100 billion trillion.com. Mark Z. Thank you, Mark. This is great. Stickers.
Z-Prem.
Hell yeah. Like Supreme.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's Mark. Thank you, Mark.
And then this looks like...
Boom.
Oh, Color Your Own Monster.
Okay, it's a coloring book.
They're blank... coloring things.
Cool. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Mark Z. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Let's keep going.
Dope.
Can we do one more and then save the rest for next week?
Okay. You want to save? Oh, okay. Yeah, let's do one more. Dude, this is great. One more. Let's do one of these. Right. One more and we're done, okay? Yeah. You guys get tired? You guys hungry? You want to
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be one of the longest episodes.
Okay, okay. So this feels like a...
viewer drop.
Yeah, yeah, like yeah. Really your energy. It feels like a t-shirt.
I think it does, too.
Yeah, so this is from...
So you should probably cut it.
This is from Dark and... This is from Dark and Dreary Company, Charlotte, North Carolina? Mm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're going to open this one, huh? You're not going to let Jeremiah open this one? Jeez, Steve's getting a little greedy now.
No, because we're time constrained.
Oh.
Jeez.
We're
almost done. We'll do half next week. How about next week, Steve?
Hey, guys.
Okay, maybe you were right, Steve. Maybe you are a better opener. Okay, I take it all back.
No, he's doing fine. Oh, yeah.
Did the packing slip?
Oh, I'm going to read this while you display the... it's a shirt. Love the show, bro. If you want more clothes, just visit www.darkanddrearyclothing.com and hit me up with what you want, and I'll hook you up anytime also. Check out my band, www.lastnailinthecoffin.net, number one. Thank you, brother. Hell yeah. So Dark and Dreary. Whoa, Dark... Wow. Bitches love my stitches.
Frankenstein.
Hell yeah.
Nice, dude.
Thanks for coming. You had fun?
Dude, I had a blast.
So we'll do another part two soon, huh?
Yep.
And okay, so and then if you want help, go to betterhelp.com. Use the preferred code Stevie. It's affordable. Steebee. Just like the show.
And remember,
betterhelp.com.
Therapy has ruined nobody's life.
It could only help you. Thank you, brother. I loved it.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.